Just one verse in verse 16. This is part two, or number two. This is the second message in a series of messages called Back to the Basics. Last week we talked about the apostle that we follow, and the title today is The Gospel We Preach. Next week we'll look at the life that we live, and we'll talk about the grace life. And then the last week, the Bible that we believe. We'll talk about the King James Bible being the Word of God, and hopefully we'll be able to have these CDs in a packet. There'll be two of them with two messages on each CD, and there'll be good information to hand out to people that are relatively new to rightly dividing, and be information that you can use for just basic information about what we believe. Today we're going to be looking at the gospel. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, interestingly enough, many of the Bible translations leave out a very important phrase in the verse. Many translations simply read, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." Why is that important? Because the Bible says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Most of the time when Paul refers to the gospel, he refers to the gospel of Christ. He also calls it the gospel of the grace of God, and he refers to the gospel of God. But there's more than one gospel in the Bible, and I know that with many people that is really, it becomes a sticking point when you tell them that there's more than one gospel. And it particularly becomes more frustrating to people when you tell them that Peter and Paul did not preach the same gospel. And so if we're going to preach and preach the gospel, we need to know what gospel it is we are to preach. Now, I want you to go back. What we're going to do first of all is look at another gospel in the Bible, which is the gospel of the kingdom. If you go all the way back to Matthew chapter 4, in the very beginning of the ministry of Christ, it makes it very clear what Jesus Christ himself was teaching. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 23, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Now, the word gospel simply means good news. It's a proclamation of good news. Well, when the Bible says that Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, he was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. That is, the king had come. The Messiah had arrived. That which you'd been looking for all these years had now arrived. As a matter of fact, John, the forerunner of Jesus, back in Matthew chapter 3, as he begins preaching, in verse 2 it says, "He came forth preaching and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, one of the things that we need to understand is that this message that we find preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was a message, it was a gospel that was being preached according to prophecy. I'll give you several verses to jot down, but I want to read one back in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. Now, because we're going to try to get in as much information as possible, I might not give you enough time to turn to all the verses, but you can go back and listen to these CDs or listen online or whatever, and reference these and read them yourself. But in Deuteronomy 11, verse 21, the Bible says that your days, talking about the nation Israel, may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon earth. So there is a prophecy in the Old Testament, not only here in Deuteronomy 11, but you'll find references to this in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, Daniel 4, verse 3, Daniel 4, verse 34, and Micah chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. Many prophecies, that's just a few about this kingdom that was coming to the nation Israel. So when Jesus Christ, when John the Baptist and Jesus Christ came forth preaching this gospel of the kingdom, it was simply the good news that the king had come. Included in that good news was how a person could be part of that kingdom. Now we know that that kingdom was prophesied to and for the nation Israel. But that did not exclude all Gentiles. There was a means of Gentile salvation. But I want us to look at some components, if you will, some of the things that were included in this gospel. And the reason for doing that is because even people that say, well, we base our doctrine on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, most of those people, or I shouldn't say most of them, but a lot of those people, the fundamentalist Bible believers, they preach Paul's gospel, but they'll tell you that they base their doctrine upon Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, they really don't. And if you really hold people's feet to the fire, you'll find out that people are not practicing the doctrines of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even when it comes to the simple gospel truth, the gospel of the kingdom, and so forth. Look in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse, chapter 10, Jesus Christ is sending forth the 12, and he names them there in the early part of the chapter. And then when you get down to verse 5, the Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now notice, and as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was the gospel of the kingdom? The kingdom is at hand. How was it a person could be part of that kingdom? Well, look over in Matthew chapter 19. There were several things that Christ taught about discipleship that people try to use today that simply will not fit in the present dispensation in which we live. For example, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, I would say that would be that life in the kingdom, keep the commandment. He saith unto him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now I know that most of the denominational preachers will take these verses and they'll say, well, Christ is just looking for his allegiance. Christ is looking to see if he's really sincere. No, folks, there's just too much in the scriptures here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to indicate otherwise. What Christ says here is not some kind of word game. It's not some kind of imaginary type thing. There are some requirements for entering into that kingdom. He said, keep the commandments. The man said, I've kept the commandments. What lack I yet? He said, then go and sell what you have. Why do you think it was over in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4 that they sold what they had and brought it and laid it to the apostles' feet? They did it because that was a requirement for entering into the kingdom. Number one, they would not need anything because Christ had promised them he would provide everything they would need. All their provisions would be made, would be given to them supernaturally through the Lord himself. Now, I want you to go over Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, by the way, in Matthew 23, Jesus Christ says to the disciples, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. In other words, he taught specifically, time and again, to keep the law. They were still keeping the law. Now, in Luke chapter 12, in verse 20, let's start in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he need divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made thee a judge or a divider over you? Well, let's go down to verse 16 for time's sake. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he says unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, now notice, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Now I want to ask you, do you know anybody in any church anywhere that is following verse 22? Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Now I know some of us take more thought about what we're going to eat than others do. And I'm a prime example of that. I mean, I plan ahead for that. I take thought for what I'm going to eat. But not only that, over the years, I have taken thought not only for what I'm going to eat, but how I'm going to get it. And I know that there's a verse in the Bible that tells me, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Listen, I didn't go to work and work down there at Blue Cross for 32 and a half years because of job satisfaction. I went there because they gave me a check every 2 weeks, and the first thing we did was pay the rent, and the second thing we did was buy groceries. We do take thought, folks. Jesus Christ is teaching some things specific to the coming kingdom. People need to get a hold of that. He said, listen, you've got to keep the commandments. You've got to sell what you have. Be willing to give it all up. Well, listen, there were requirements, the giving up of the wealth. As a matter of fact, even family. Look in Luke chapter 16. Look over in chapter 16. Verse 13, No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Notice what he says back in Matthew chapter 10. I want to tell you something, folks. These verses used to just drive me nuts when I didn't understand about rightly dividing the word of truth. Because I would read these things and I would think, how can you do this? How? And so you go to the preacher and ask him, he said, well, you know, there's some things we're just not meant to understand. Notice Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Wow. I mean, come on, there's requirements, there are things that are involved in becoming part of this kingdom. You ever heard anybody talk about bearing their cross? Look back in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, that's another one. I kept thinking, what is this cross I'm supposed to be bearing? And how is it? What is it? Well, in Luke chapter 16, I'm sorry, I told you the wrong verse. Luke 9. Got too many verses written down here. In Luke 9:22, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. How do you do that? What is taking up your cross daily? I heard a guy preach 45 minutes one night on the fact that cigarettes was his cross. And every day he had to battle with that cross. So come on, folks. These are literal instructions to people about a coming kingdom. And how were they entering into it? They had to forsake wealth. They had to forsake family. They had to take up their cross. Most all of these things have to do with life in the tribulation that they were fixing to enter into, according to prophecy. And these were things that were instructions to them. Why? Because if they entered into, if they made it through the tribulation or died as a martyr as a result of that punishment, you know what they got? They got a place in the kingdom. Thus, it's called the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus Christ is said in Matthew chapter 24. Let's turn back there. Matthew 24. In Matthew chapter 24, in the first verses there, in verse 1 and 2, he said, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show them the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, say ye not all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? You see where their focus was. They knew prophecy. Everything that's taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Christ, you can find in the Old Testament prophecies. And Jesus answered, verse 4, and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then he goes down through there, and he lists a whole list of things. Wars, rumors of wars, all of these things. Notice what he gets to down in verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. But notice the next verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I was taught all of my life, up until I understood right division, that verse was the purpose of missions, because until the gospel was preached in all nations, the Lord couldn't come. You probably heard that yourself. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, the verse is absolutely true and correct and right when properly applied to the tribulation period, when they will go out into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And it's interesting that the next verse talks about what they've got to endure. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and so forth. There's going to come a time, the abomination of desolation described in Daniel, is when the man of sin stands up in the middle of the tribulation, and he says, I am God, worship me. And those that will not receive the mark of the beast, they will be put to death, they'll die martyr's death during that period of time. They endured until the end. Not necessarily the end of the tribulation. They resisted the Antichrist, would not be part of it. Come on, folks. It's tribulation doctrine. It's doctrine about how to get into that kingdom. As a matter of fact, the very next chapter addresses how the Gentiles could get into that kingdom. Look in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. One of the most misunderstood passages in the Bible, and it's misused because people will use this to tell you that you ought to be blessing Israel today. That we ought to be taking care of Israel. Well, I don't know about all the political ramifications of that, and that's not my concern. But I want to tell you something. Matthew 25, at the present time, has nothing to do at the present time of what we're doing toward Israel. It will in the future. Notice what he says in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, saying to them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now listen, if people really believe those are marching instructions for the church, then they ought to quit ministering to people in general and find them some Jews to take care of and bless so that they can enter into the kingdom, because that's exactly what it says. You see how confusing all this is, folks, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth. I've heard people take these verses right here and read them about an individual at a funeral and say that this person is going to heaven because of all the good things that they did. He was hungry and he fed people. They were thirsty and he gave them drink. Well, listen, it's a specific people here they're doing it to. He said, as much as you've done to one of the least of these, my brethren. Who were the brethren of Jesus Christ? They were the Jews. They were those to whom he sent the 12, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Come on, these things are real. These words mean something. That's why you must follow the admonition of the Apostle Paul. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The gospel we preach. If somebody came running through that door back there this morning and said, hey, I need to be saved. I need to know how to be saved. You think I'm going to go over to Matthew chapter 19 and read there about you need to keep the commandments? Well, it's Bible. You think I'm going to tell him to sell what he has and give alms to the poor? Well, it's Bible. Not only that, I'm not going to tell him Acts 2:38. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Look in Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24. I tell you, there's a lot of doctrines that we, in general, that are, you know, worthy of discussion, and we agree on, disagree on, and that kind of thing. But when you get down to what we're talking about today, folks, there is no room for compromise when it comes to the gospel. People's lives are at stake. Their eternity is at stake. How do I know that? Because I tried the gospel of the kingdom. I was trying to live it. I walked the aisle. I joined the church. And week after week after week, I came and confessed my sins, because I was taught that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. That's not the gospel today. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 46, he said unto them, Christ speaking, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now people say, okay, well then the message changed at the cross. I don't see it changed at the cross. This is after the cross. What did he tell them to preach? Did he say, preach that I died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day? No, he said repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Well, isn't it interesting in Acts chapter 2, in your King James Bible, that those two words are used again, repentance and remission of sins shall be preached, and Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, he was preaching a murder indictment to the nation of Israel, and they said, what shall we do? We have killed the very Messiah that we've been looking for all these years, all this time. It was a message of prophecy. But there was a message, as a matter of fact, look over in chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Then weren't they preaching according to prophecy? Yes, he said all the things that he showed by the mouth of his prophets. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 16? He said, we preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It was information that was kept secret until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. So what gospel do we preach? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. In Acts chapter 20, it's referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. People say, well, why would you, in other words, if they're named different, aren't they different gospels? Well, Acts chapter 20, by the way, the best way to identify a gospel, the gospel, is find out what's said about it. What's contained in the words. In Acts chapter 20, Paul said, in verse 20, well, let's just skip down to verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy at a ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. What is this gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also have you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you were saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. Now notice. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, do you see anything in there that resembles Matthew chapter 19? Do you see anything that resembles Acts 2:38? Not a thing, folks. Paul was given a new gospel to be preached, and it was an all-man gospel, as he says in Acts chapter 13. All men are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And you see, the good news was not only that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. The good news is that the benefit of that was now extended to every individual without exception. Thus, what did Paul write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? God was in Christ reconciling those that were chosen before the foundation of the world unto Himself. No, that's not what it says. God was in Christ reconciling what? The world unto Himself. Christ went to that cross and hung there and suffered and bled and died for all of mankind. Not just the elect, not just those that He chose, not just those that were good and deserved it. Listen, folks, He died for all men. He died for the sins of men like Hitler and Stalin. He died for the sins of all. And Paul said that He might be testified in due time. He gave Himself a ransom for who? A ransom for all. That's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that today, sin is no longer the issue. It's not what you do in your flesh. It's not repentance. It's not water baptism. It's not keeping the law. It's not selling out. It's not joining the church. It's not water baptism. It's not even inviting Jesus into your heart. It's trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ plus nothing. Trusting in what He did, knowing that all the works of our flesh are nothing but dung and of no value in the sight of God. He died for our sins. He was buried and raised again the third day. And the religious world in general do not want to hear that. They don't want to believe that Christ did it all. They want to believe that Christ did what was necessary on His part, and now you got to do your part. That couldn't be further from the truth. Look in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, what is the gospel we preach? The good news we preach is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Say, well, everybody preaches that. Yep, most everybody does in religion in some shape, form, or fashion. But as I said a few weeks ago, the real issue is not simply believing that He hung on a cross and was died and was put in a tomb and raised again. You can believe the historical facts. You see, to believe the historical facts, that's history. To receive that as your salvation is trust. Paul said, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And the gospel of your salvation is that good news of God's grace, that He died for the sins of all men. And as a result of that, as Paul says in Colossians 2:10, he said, you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Now notice, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now I want to ask you something. How much activity does the dead man have? None. You were dead in your sins. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And the uncircumcision of your flesh. In other words, not only were you apart from God because of your sins, but because of who you were. You weren't in the covenants of promise. You weren't part of those promises where I'll bless you and I'll bless them that bless you, because we weren't blessing them. We're like the Ephesians back there in Acts 19. Heathens. Those who are outside the covenants of God, outside the promises, outside of all those things. Idol worshipers. And yet God Almighty saved us for Christ's sake. Why? He has forgiven us all trespasses. The gospel of the grace of God is the gospel that Paul preached that you find recorded in 1 Corinthians 15. And it's the gospel that our apostle preached throughout his ministry. And it is the gospel that is today the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If there were no other reason to rightly divide the word of truth, that within itself is reason enough so that we can clearly show people how that they're saved today as opposed to how they were saved in time past. Today, it is by grace through faith. Now, I want you to notice back in Galatians chapter 1 as we conclude here. In Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians 1, there is a very stern warning about this gospel. Galatians is a book that has to do with people that heard the gospel of Christ, and then somebody came along and tried to put them back under the law and said, unless you be circumcised, you can't be saved. Paul said in verse 6, Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what we see going on today. He said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Pretty strong warnings, I'd say. That's our apostle writing those things. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now notice, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know why Peter and James and John couldn't give Paul the gospel? They didn't know it. Nobody knew it, folks, until this secret was revealed to the Apostle Paul. This secret that had been kept secret since the foundation of the world about the salvation of mankind. So, well, why did God keep it a secret? Well, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Very specific reason why God kept it a secret. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them which are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Now verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, when they crucified the Lord, they thought, we're getting rid of this king once and for all. This kingdom is not going to come. But when they crucified the Lord of glory, they played right into the hands of God Almighty, because through his death, burial, and resurrection, there was going to be redemption not only for the nation Israel and Gentiles that blessed Israel, now there was going to be redemption for the entire world. And it was going to be by grace through faith. In Romans chapter 2, Paul says, in relation to the coming judgment, that men are going to be judged according to my gospel. In Romans 16:25, he says, now to him that's the power to establish you according to my gospel. In 2 Timothy 2:8, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Get the picture, folks. He said, I certify you, brethren. I'll guarantee you that the gospel which I preached is not of man, for I neither received it of man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. Today, that good news is revealed by the preaching of the cross. That's what our ministry is all about. If we're not doing that, we're a total failure, and it's a waste of time. The preaching of the cross is that Jesus Christ did everything at Calvary that needed to be done for you to be saved. And all you have to do is receive it as a free gift. Trust in what Jesus Christ did. The gospel we preach, it is not the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the gospel of the tribulation. It's the gospel of the grace of God. When Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. He's not just saying, I'm not timid about it. I'm not shy about it. He's saying, I am confident that this gospel, if you'll believe it, God Almighty will deliver you from this present evil world. He'll save you. He died for our sins. He was raised again for our justification. That's the glorious gospel. And our commission is as ambassadors of Christ to preach this reconciliation message, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. The greatest message ever made known to mankind in any age is the message of God's grace and his forgiveness through Jesus Christ at Calvary. If you've never trusted that, I hope that you'll do it right now for Christ's sake. Would you stand with me?